And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. Thanks for your company. If you're a new listener, thank you for joining us. If you're a regular, we'd love to have you back every Thursday morning. And my guest here in the studio this morning is Alison Burton from Simply Natural Therapies. And Alison is, among other things, author of a little book called 12 Keys to Health Happiness. She's a hypnotherapist. She's an OT and a few other things as well. And Alison, when we talk about natural therapies, just whet our listeners' appetites for people who perhaps don't know what that encompasses. What's included under the broad banner of natural therapies?
Well, we've got a couple of naturopaths on board, and massage therapy is included under natural therapies. I did have a business downstairs that included natural therapies, but I've sold part of that business.
Okay.
They do the body work.
Sure.
Acupuncture, Chinese medicine, energy healing, which is a big interest of mine. Kinesiology.
Okay. And quite a broad range.
Yeah, using diet and nutrition, lifestyle, herbs and supplements. And also, you know, I do the talk therapies.
So, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Really looking holistically because, you know, doctors are trained in drugs and surgery. And so if a problem can be fixed with drugs and surgery, fantastic. You know, I broke my collarbone a couple of years ago and I wasn't going to go to a natural therapist.
Yes.
So
I've
take me
done
to
that
the
myself a couple of times.
Take me to the hospital, give me the drugs, thank you very much.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a place for both, is what
absolutely.
You're saying.
Absolutely.
Yes,
but fantastic. I think we need to start looking much more holistically at health and preventative medicine.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell us what would be the most common reason why you would have a conversation with someone about hypnotherapy? What are the most common presenting issues?
Well, I guess what most people think about with hypnotherapy is stop smoking or weight loss.
Yes.
So those kinds of things. So phobias.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of work with people who I've got a fear of flying.
Okay.
And I've had lots of text messages from people from, you know, America or London or, you know, even Queensland saying
who've succeeded in flying.
Yeah, the flight was
<They've>
great.
<landed.
laughs> Yeah. So that's really satisfying.
Fantastic.
And that can be quite a quick fix.
Terrific. And for those of us who are ignorant about hypnotherapy, what are we looking at? Are we looking at a one-off session? Is it you know, an ongoing thing for people? Or once they overcome that phobia or whatever, is it gone then?
Well, yes, it is. Yeah. And they've got the strategies and, you know, potentially I'll do a recording for them or they can access a recording that I've got online. Or I often these days record directly onto people's phones. That's
okay.
Quick and easy. And then they can listen to it while they're waiting at the terminal for the plane and just stay centered and relaxed.
Sure.
And calm. Really depends what they're coming for. So some things are longer term.
Yes.
Probably I would have an average of maybe 4 to 6 sessions with people.
Okay.
So I'm very much into short-term solution-focused therapy.
Right.
I did have a client at one stage who said to me she'd been seeing a psychiatrist for 10 years. And she came for anxiety and some obsessive-compulsive issues. And I said, gee, that's an awful lot of, you know, psychiatric sessions once a week for 10 years. And she said, no, Alison, it was every day for 10 years. She'd been going to see this psychiatrist,
wow.
Thanks to Medicare, every morning before work. She would have a 7:30
wow.
appointment. And she was incredibly stuck in her problems because every morning she would have to go and tell him what the issues were from the day before.
Okay.
And so her default mode, her subconscious was really set to look for those things in life that she could talk to her psychiatrist about the next day.
Wow.
That's a
huge commitment.
And so it was a big shift for her to see me, and I wanted to... I got her to focus on the good things.
Yes.
And really shifted her default setting.
Fantastic.
So I had great outcomes with her very quickly.
and a reminder to all our listeners that today, the 12th of September, is Are You Okay Day. So make a point today in your workplace or wherever you are to ask the person that you might not normally ask, Are You Okay? My special guest here in the studio this morning is Alison Burton. And, well, you can Google Alison if you want to know more. But for now, really interested, Alison, in, you know, I've watched the shows on stage and TV about people being hypnotized, and you know, sometimes they're part of a comedy, dare I say, where people are hypnotized to go and do something wacky or outlandish or something like that.
Yes,
And I'm sure we've all seen those shows. But for our listeners and for myself, just perhaps could you distinguish between that sort of hypnosis and what you would perhaps describe as clinical hypnosis?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah, I have seen some of the shows, and there was a show on TV a while ago that was really, really funny.
Right.
Some of the stage hypnosis hypnotists can be a little bit sleazy.
Both staged and staged.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually, people often ask, is it real? Are people really in hypnosis? And the one I saw was really interesting. And then one of the girls who was in the show was in the toilets afterwards and saying, I didn't mean to do all that. I don't know what came over me. So it was really...
Stage fright.
No. Oh, no, she wasn't. It wasn't stage fright. She was full of confidence.
Okay.
So the stage shows generally... people really are in trance. They are hypnotized.
Okay,
are people out of the general audience. But what happens is that about 20% of the general population are very easily hypnotized, very suggestible, and will go into that state of just kind of, it's almost like a dreamlike state where your imagination takes over.
You are getting sleepy. Yeah. You are getting sleepy. Yes.
Well, it's just this girl was chasing leprechauns under the table.
Okay.
And it was really, her imagination was so powerful that she was really seeing the leprechauns.
Okay.
And our imagination is powerful, and it does affect our life. So, you know, people who are anxious are imagining all the time that they're in danger.
Yes.
So there's kind of links between the stage hypnosis.
Yes, and I shouldn't be making light of it in that sense.
Yeah, the way the mind works the stage hypnosis is a really good way to demonstrate how powerful the mind is, actually.
So in a clinical sense, yes.
Yeah, so let me just tell you what happens with stage hypnosis is that the hypnotist will initially do something to hypnotize, in inverted commas, the whole audience.
Right.
So they will do just a little test, a susceptibility test it is.
Okay.
So they will get people to imagine their hands are locked shut or their eyes are locked closed or that kind of thing. And so what happened in the show I went to see was that he talked people through that idea of, you know, slowly bring your hands together,
mm-hmm.
Lock your fingers, interlace your fingers, lock your hands shut. And they will stay locked. It's as if they're glued shut, bolted shut, and you cannot open them. And so then he will say, okay, those people, you know, who their hands are really locked shut, if you cannot unlock your hands, come up to the stage. So he filtered out the people initially. So out of 100 people, there were maybe 20 people who went up onto the stage.
Right.
Very clever way to do it. And then he went through a few more procedures with them, processes and suggestions. And the people, he ended up with about 6 people
who
were the most highly suggestible in the crowd. And they were the ones that we call them somnambulists.
Okay.
And so they can actually not be that aware of what's going on. They go right into that daydreamy state, which is the state kids go into when they're playing. You know, when they're having imaginary friends, so hypnosis is actually really a really natural state for us to go in. It's just when our imagination takes over from our logical, rational thinking.
Mm.
And so, yeah, the show is people are really in hypnosis and they're doing all sorts of bizarre things. And when I work, when a hypnotherapist works with someone to do therapy, they will get them into that same trance state. So the trance, the induction and the trance is similar, but what you do in that state is different. So hypnotherapists won't get someone to run around the room like a chicken. That's not very useful therapeutically.
Yes, yes.
But if we can get someone to forget to be anxious, or to perceive the world as a positive place rather than a negative place, to see the good in things rather than the bad, you know, the sunrise rather than the dirty window, and to help people shift their default setting in that way so that it addresses what they came for.
Fantastic. And you're with Bruce Argyle. My special guest here in the studio is Alison Burden, and we're talking right now hypnotherapy. And we've just had an interesting conversation off air about being relaxed and mindful and moving into that sort of trance state. Alison, I'm just wondering, can you begin to describe what a trance state is like?
Yeah, well, we all go into trance regularly. In fact, we need to do it every 90 minutes just to switch off from the outside world and just go into that daydreamy state. So it's very, very natural. And if you're sitting by a campfire or if you're watching a waterfall, mm-hmm. or, I like to use the image, and I get people to imagine quite vividly sitting by water and just watching the sun sparkling on the surface of the water. So it's that state where you're very focused and your mind is relaxed, your body's relaxed, and you're focusing on something to the exclusion of most other things.
Okay.
And so it is very natural. And people go into trance, are in that trance state where the brain waves are in what's called alpha or theta when they're waking up every morning and when they're just drifting off to sleep. So it's that state between being asleep and being awake.
Okay.
Just that middle ground.
Middle ground. Fantastic. So you said before shifting your default.
Yes.
Yeah, I really like that thought. So you're moving people from one place to another.
Yeah. So the
resetting, if you like.
Absolutely, yeah. And we often call it rewiring the brain.
Okay.
And the neural pathways do change, and the structure of things in the brain can change over time. So there are actually two parts of the brain. There are three, but it would take a whole other episode to talk about the
tell us
you know,
about
what
the
I
two.
Call the super conscious. So there's the conscious part of the mind and the subconscious part of the mind. And if you think about the iceberg model, so the conscious part of
the
mind, is the tip of the iceberg. And that's the part that is in control of, you know, the rational logical thinking and our willpower.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the subconscious is where the programming is on the computer. So that's your operating system.
Okay.
And that's where all your default settings are. So you can try as much as you like to not have that cigarette at a conscious level and use willpower. But if your operating system says, no, we need cigarettes, several times a day, when the conscious and the subconscious are in conflict, the subconscious will always win. It's much more powerful.
Right.
And really, you run out of willpower by the end of the day with most things.
Yes, and then feel that you've been defeated again.
That's right, yeah. Mm. So when there's any kind of battle within yourself, that you're not behaving in a way that you want to, if you're not feeling the way you want to, the problem is always coming from the programming in the subconscious part of the mind. And hypnosis is a way to access that. I often talk about a filter between the conscious and the subconscious part mm-hmm. of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could talk till the cows come home at that conscious level and nothing would change. Your default setting wouldn't change. But when you can actually hack into the system,
open up
that filter and work at that deeper level, then things can change in a really profound way. And the subconscious is where all your memories are stored.
Yep.
You've got a video library in there of everything that's happened for you since time began. So, of course, the traumatic memories are stored there too. And if you've had a traumatic childhood, then that will create some default settings.
Yes.
If I don't trust people, or I'm not loved, or I'm not safe, or I don't belong, whatever
I'm not worthwhile, or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Your habits, as I mentioned, are there. So whether it's that, you know, packet of chips after dinner every night, or, you know, too much wine, or the pokies. Your emotions. So we don't choose to feel our emotions. They just bubble up from the subconscious.
Yeah.
And understanding that today on Are You Okay Day is really important, because there's absolutely no point in saying to someone, just snap out of it, things aren't that bad.
Mm.
If that depression or that anxiety is at that subconscious level, just telling them isn't going to make
it's not going to be helpful
any
at all.
Difference
might
in
even
the
be
world.
Really unhelpful.
Absolutely, yeah. Your beliefs are stored at that subconscious part of the mind.
Yes.
And your beliefs actually run the show. So your mind is your radar's out all the time for things in the world, external reality, that confirm your beliefs. So the role of the mind is to find a way to align your beliefs with the external world.
Okay.
And so if you believe I'm a bad person, I'm a failure, I'm no good, you will be finding evidence for that all over the place. And if you believe, no, those core beliefs that I mentioned are the things that are really important to instill into the subconscious of I'm loved, I'm safe, I belong, and I'm good enough. And so working hypnotherapists can work with those things and with repetition and using affirmations and that kind of thing to shift what's going on at that level. The other thing that the subconscious is in control of is your physiology. So your body and all of the systems of your body, your heart rate, your immune system, your digestion. So I've got a keen interest actually in mind-body healing.
Yes.
And fascinating subject.
And that holistic approach that you
Absolutely.
Were referring to earlier.
Yeah. And so there's amazing stories and, lots of evidence of the power of the mind over the body.
Wow.
And particularly with recently with tummy troubles.
Okay.
With irritable bowel syndrome and all of the functional gut disorders.
I saw that on your website.
Yeah, the mind can have an amazing effect on that.
Wow. So, listeners, it's Are You Okay Day today, and my guest here in the studio is Alison Burton, and we're talking hypnotherapy, we're talking health and wellness and well-being, and obviously life for all of us at times is just not plain sailing. My guest this morning is Alison Burton, and we've been talking about, kind of lately, reprogramming and looking at how the mind works and using hypnotherapy and other things to look at health and well-being. And it is kind of like reprogramming a little bit, isn't
Absolutely,
it, Alison?
Absolutely, yeah. It's like upgrading the operating system on the computer. And then, things work much more efficiently and effectively. A lot of the reasons people would look for hypnotherapy is often stress. We already mentioned smoking and weight loss and that kind of thing, which is what people typically think of with
it is,
with
isn't
hypnosis.
It? Yes.
But I find hypnosis is one of the best ways to fast track de-stressing, to help someone go into a nice deep state of relaxation.
And that sort of trance that you were talking about before.
Yeah, and to really relax their mind. And then the kind of suggestions that a therapist would give, or even in self-hypnosis using affirmations, can then those positive things can then settle in the subconscious part of the mind and start to change those basic things we talked about before.
Fantastic.
So the beliefs that are happening at the subconscious.
And that
then influences someone's life quite profoundly.
You've got a lot of experience in this space, Alison. I was looking at your CV, and which is absolutely amazing. Does it work? Is it successful? And that's a very cheeky question, isn't it? What results have you seen over the years?
I often get that question. Does hypnosis work?
Yes.
I find it incredibly effective, and it's. I've learnt a lot of other techniques along the way, but kind of my default is hypnosis because I've found I just love the power of the mind and find it one of the easiest ways to help people make change. And really, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So I can't control someone else. It's only ever with someone when someone trusts the hypnotherapist. Mm-hmm. So you do have to be a bit selective about who you go and see.
Yep.
So you need that ability to relax in their presence and to trust them and to allow those suggestions to go in. And, when you're talking to someone and you like what they're saying, you will relax. Your body posture will be more open, rather than having your arms folded in front of you. Your body softens and that filter softens. And so the things they say go into your subconscious. And if you are talking to someone who you don't agree with, they've got, whether it's politics or whatever, your body will be more tense, and that filter between the conscious and the subconscious is stronger. You filter out what they say.
One of my colleagues uses the experience, I really like it, that he says that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's right, yeah. You
know? And so that sort of trust and care and support.
Yeah, and having that rapport with a therapist is so important.
Yes. Yeah. And of course today is Are You OK Day, just a reminder to ask a colleague or a friend or a family member or whoever you interact with today, have a conversation and ask them, are you okay? Because it's really important, isn't it, Alison?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So there is really an epidemic of depression and anxiety, and particularly with young kids. You know, I also work with children. And
okay.
Well, hypnotherapy is fantastic with children because they're already in that trance state.
Yes.
Their imagination is so active already. So it can be really powerful. Mm. And there's a process of talking to children while they're sleeping that can change
okay.
what's going on at that subconscious level and install those beliefs of I'm loved, I'm safe, I belong and I'm good enough. So that's something that parents can learn.
What about some of the myths? What about some of the false misconceptions about hypnotherapy?
Yeah, well, the
that
idea
float around there.
Yeah, well, the idea that someone will be in control of your mind, that you don't want to kind of have someone messing around in your subconscious.
Yes.
When you're in trance, you're not asleep, you're not unconscious, you're still aware. So you can actually still hear what's being said, and your conscious mind, that kind of rational, critical, logical part of your mind, can kick in whenever it needs to. So if a therapist is saying something that you don't doesn't resonate with you, doesn't feel right, your conscious mind can kick in very quickly. Can I just give you an example of that?
Sure.
When I was studying, I was practicing with my daughter, who was about 12 at the time. And it was just a lovely guided relaxation, and I was practicing doing, you know, learning how to do an induction. And she was having a lovely, happy time, going back to happy memories. And as I was bringing her out of it, I said, when you come out of trance, you're going to have an irresistible desire to tidy your room, do your homework, and be polite to your mother. and she laughed. She opened one eye. She popped herself out of trance because she didn't like what I was saying. And so that's actually possible for people.
Fantastic.
That you can reject anything that's said.
Alison Burton, thank you so much for being my guest here this morning. If you want to know more about Alison and what she's been talking about this morning, you can just Google her, she says. Is that right, Alison?
Absolutely. Yep, you'll find me everywhere.
and a final thought for people.
Yeah,
morning.
I guess I just really want people to know that they can change their programming, they can change their conditioning. There are a number of ways to do it, but hypnotherapy, I've found, is one of the best.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing those insights with us this morning. And listeners, I'm going to be in Canberra next week. Philanthropy Meets Parliament, an amazing event up there. So I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Leave you in the capable hands of Cora Zon next week. Have a great week.